Alright, we're in Genesis chapter 40. Joseph, we're following the life of a young man named Joseph, and he finds himself in prison because he didn't give in to temptation. What was the temptation, Francis, that he ran from? A lot of guys wouldn't run, would they? A lot of guys, if they had the chance, they would take it, but not Joseph. Joseph was innocent of anything that was evil at that time. He was falsely accused, and he became numbered, or he became counted, along with all other transgressors that were in the prison, all other criminals. It's not until chapter 41 that we begin to understand how all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. Romans 8:28 says, everything in your life works together for good. Now, Satan meant evil towards Joseph by casting him in prison, but God used this as a way to exalt Joseph all the way up to the side of Pharaoh. So God's ways are not our ways, are they? As long as Joseph was in the house of Potiphar, he was only the blessing to one family. Namely, Potiphar. And even so, as long as Jesus was only a man, even though he was God, he was primarily a blessing only to one nation, Israel. It was after Jesus died and was resurrected that he became a blessing, a savior to all nations. John 12:24 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat, a kernel of wheat, fall to the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. So we're talking about a seed. A seed by itself is, you just chew on it and it's gone. But if you plant it, it can produce loads of fruit. It brings forth much fruit. Now look at God's plan for God, for his man. Now Joseph changes position, but he himself does not change. So if you find Joseph, he started off as the son of who?
Jacob.
He started off as a son of Jacob. And then he got sold into slavery. Let's do this right. To a guy named Potiphar. But from there, that's not as low as he goes, is it? From there, he goes down to prison, and he's falsely accused. We'll just use this, falsely accused and convicted, and he's in prison now. Where was he headed? What was his next step? If nothing happened, he's in prison, what would happen to him?
Killed.
He would have died. All right. So he would have been just done away. Now, Jesus, he's the Son of God, isn't he? Wow. He steps down, and watch the steps of Jesus. This is sold into slavery to Potiphar. Well, the Son of God, he willingly came down and became a man. All right. In this world, he humbled himself, became a man, and didn't he get falsely accused? He was falsely accused of being a
false prophet.
False prophet, and of stirring up riots and of turning people away from God. And he ultimately is put into prison, isn't he? He's in jail. He's in front of Pilate and in front of Herod and all this stuff. He goes to prison, but ultimately he does go to death, doesn't he?
Yes.
All right. So there's some comparisons that we're watching. Now, all the times that Joseph, all the time that Joseph changes his location, this is Jesus. Every time Joseph is placed in different places, every time things change around him, does Joseph change?
No. No.
Joseph never changes. That's character. That's character. And Jesus is the same. No matter where he is, he's still the Son of God. He's still the same. Jesus Christ, the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. So you know, he's falsely accused, even though he was standing for Herod. Even though he was beaten and bruised, he never changed. So that's one of the great truths that we're going to focus on this morning. Once again, Joseph, he changed positions physically. But the man Joseph did not change. His character was the same in prison, like it was in the house of Potiphar. He was always honest, always hardworking. One of the greatest mistakes we make in acting on the belief that changing locations will change us. Some people say, what if I got out of court, I'd be a better man. Well, maybe. But you know, think about it. Changing where you live doesn't change who you are. Okay? This is a major tool of deception used by Satan that prevents us from being fruitful. What we've got to learn is that, and put into action, is we have to make changes. We have to make changes in ourselves where we are. That's your fill-in. All right. So if I'm not Joseph, okay, but if wherever I am, I can't change where I'm at. So what do I need to change? Who I am. I need to change where I am. It's kind of the English is not great there. You got to understand. I need to change. No matter where I am. No matter where I am. The answer is, there's not much room there, but it's change. I need to make changes where we are.
W-H-E-R-E.
But if you want to make more room, it's no matter where we are. We need to make changes no matter where we find ourselves. I need to be changed, not my location. Or else, when we get to a new location, we get back to doing the same things we've always done. So he moves now from a favored servant. When he's in slavery here to Potiphar, is he a blessing or is he trouble to Potiphar? No, think about Joseph. Was he a blessing or was he trouble? He was a blessing. Yeah. All right? So he still was good to Potiphar. What about Jesus? When he was in this world, was he a blessing to the world or was he trouble? He was a blessing. Yeah. Everyone he dealt with, he touched and healed. So the same thing. And am I a blessing no matter where I am? In chapter 39 and verse 22... Genesis 39:22. It says, and the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. And the keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, with Joseph, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. So he not only was a blessing in Potiphar's house, he was also a blessing even in prison on death row. Okay? notice the fellow prisoners. Let's start in reading in verses 1 and 2. Francis, if you would start reading there. Read them. Chapter 40, verses 1 to 7.
And it came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was wroth against two of his officers, against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers. And he put them inward in the house of the captain of the guard into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them, and they continued as he stood inward. And they dreamed a dream, both of them, each man his dream in one night. Each man according to the interpretation of his dream. the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, which were bound in the prison. And Joseph came in unto them in the morning and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his lord's house, saying, wherefore look ye so sadly to them?
Okay, so we're going to talk about how he asks, and he says, why are you so sad today? Now, he's with some fellow prisoners. So he's in prison. There's some fellow prisoners. What were their titles? We don't know their names, but what were they known as?
Butlers.
Okay, a butler and?
Bakers.
Okay, so a butler and a baker. So he's in with some fellow prisoners now. They both get thrown in there into the prison with Joseph. Now, the butler, as he is called here in Genesis 40, was not quite the butler like we know today. The title butler actually means cupbearer. Somebody who would pour wine, would take a sip of it, and if he didn't die, he could give it to the king then. Alright? The butler had the pleasure or the misfortune of bearing the cup to the king, to drink of it first before the king. If the butler died, normally the king would not drink from that cup. So now the baker was also a steward or a servant for the king. The baker's particular task was to bake a variety of delicious breads for the king and his guests. Now, both of these men dreamed one night. Now, they're both in trouble with the king. They both made the king angry, evidently. And they're in prison. I'll write a note here, myself here. And they both dream a dream. When they woke up, they realized the dreams. They recalled their dreams, but they were troubled and perplexed because they didn't know the meaning of the dream. Their dreams bothered them so much inside that their troubles were manifested by physical attributes, which means that they felt sad. Now, what is our countenance or our face? What does it reveal? Do you know, your face reveals your heart. When you're sad on the outside, it's because you're sad on the inside. God saw the countenance of Cain, and he says, why is your countenance evil, Cain? Why are you so angry? It was because Cain had an evil heart. Jacob saw Laban's countenance. His face toward him had changed. Countenance means your appearance. And Hannah, her countenance, when she prayed and she got peace from God about having a child, her countenance was no more longer sad. Nehemiah's countenance was sad when he heard about Jerusalem being in ruins. He was very disturbed. So Joseph saw these two men, how sad they were, and he could read their face, and he realized something was bothering them. And you know what's funny? Now, what did they have? Remember, what did these two men have that Joseph could help them with? A dream. Remember, he had a dream, didn't he? He actually had two dreams. Here are two men that had dreams, and he said, I can understand dreams, maybe. Not all, but tell me what your dream is, and maybe I can help you. That's kind of cute. God sometimes puts you through trouble so that you can help someone else. If I'm talking to a husband or a wife, and they just lost a baby, I've never lost a child, how could I minister to them? I can try. But sometimes here's someone over here, and they've lost a baby. You say, why? And then God encourages them, and they feel stronger. And then they hear of somebody else who's lost a baby. They can minister to them. Do you understand what I'm saying? So sometimes, here's Joseph, who, because of his dreams, he gets in trouble. He meets two others who are in trouble, and they have a dream. He says, I can help you. So God uses your trouble to help someone else. And Joseph had empathy. Remember that word. Empathy means you can relate to someone. You're at the same level and you can feel what they feel. Joseph's in the very same prison as the butler and the baker. Joseph had problems, just like them. But he did not have sorrow, did he? Joseph was with the butler and the baker, and they're very sad. Where are they going to end up if nothing happens? What was their next step? They also were going to die. Now, what's the difference between the death of the butler and the baker and the death of the potential death for Joseph? His was not the end. See, if he died, he was going to paradise, wouldn't he? But if they died, that would be a disaster, wouldn't it? They would end up in hell. So Joseph has empathy. He says, guys, let me encourage you. Let me help you. So Christian brothers and sisters, here's your fill-in on number 7. Christian brothers and sisters ought to have compassion. Compassion. Edward, would you look up 1 Peter 3, 8 and 9?
Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing.
Amen. Wow. So, we should have compassion on one another, shouldn't we?
Yep.
It's easy to judge someone else and say, they deserve their trouble. But as Christians, we should have compassion. We should be a blessing in spite of everything going on. So that's a very good challenge for us as Christians. Now, number B, let's just rush down there. When it is well with you, let's keep going. I stopped you at verse 7. Edward, would you also read verse 8? 8 down to 8 down to 13.
That's Genesis 14.
Genesis, back to Genesis 14, 8 to 13.
And they said unto him, we have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter for it. And Joseph said unto them, Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you. And the chief butler told his dream to Joseph, and said unto him, in my dream, behold, a vine was before me, and in the vine were three branches, and it was as though it budded, and our blossoms shot forth, and the clusters thereof brought forth ripe grapes.
Ripe grapes. Mm.
And Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup. And I gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. And Joseph said unto him, this is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head and restore thee unto thy place. And thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand, after the former manner when thou was his butler.
All right, so kind of the butler gives his first dream, and I do it backwards here, but here's this vine, and it's got 3 branches on it, and each branch has clusters of what?
Grapes.
So I'm only going to draw. All right, so he sees 3 groups of grapes. And what do grapes become? What do you normally If you're powerful or whatever, what do you like to do? You like to drink.
Drink, yeah.
So you had a butler who carried grape juice turned into wine, and you'd carry it. And the dream has those grapes. Clusters thereof brought forth ripe grapes, and Pharaoh's cup was in my hand. And so there's a cup here, and the grapes are going into that cup. And it's easy for Joseph to understand. That's day one, two, and on the third day, you're going to be back with the king. So let's see. The second one, all right, you had 3 days, so Pharaoh lift up thy hand and restore thee, and thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into the hand. Okay, now, that looks like a simple interpretation. Could you have interpreted that, Adam?
No.
I'm glad you asked that, because, see, I've read the story, so it's easy for me now that I know the story, but if I just hear somebody's dream, it's very complicated. How do you understand dreams? That's why I stay away from them. If somebody asked you and said, I don't know, has your wife ever woke up and said, I just had a dream, and then she tells you her dream? And she says, oh, I wonder what this means. I always say, I don't know. Because you can get all kinds of crazy stuff. I don't know. All right. So that's our first dream. But what does he say? He says, you're going to go back up to Pharaoh. All right? You're going to go back. You're going to go back to Pharaoh's presence, and when you go back to Pharaoh's presence, what does he ask him to do in verse 13? Does he say it there in verse 13? 40, 13. Nope. After the former manner, you're going back. Now, verse 14. Read verse 14 now, Romeo.
God, remember me when it is well with you, and please show kindness to me. Make mention of me to Pharaoh, and get me out of this house.
So, remember me, think of me, be kind towards me. What else does he say?
Mention me to Pharaoh.
Yeah.
And get me out of this house.
Mention me to Pharaoh. Get me out. Free me. Get me free. Okay. Sounds like he's human, doesn't it? That's what I want. How long has he been in prison? We don't know, but he's going to be in prison for a while now. It's still hard. So remember me. When it is well with you, think of me. Now read verse 15 also. Let's see. And keep going there, 15 down to 23. Go ahead and finish it all.
For indeed, I was stolen away from the land of Hebrews. And also I have done nothing here, that they should put me into this dungeon. For the chief baker saw that interpretation was good. He said to Joseph, I also was in a dream, and there were three white baskets on my head. In this uppermost basket were all kinds of baked goods for Pharaoh. And the birds ate them out of the basket on my head. So Joseph answered and said, this is the interpretation of it. The three baskets are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift off your head from and hang you on a tree, and the birds will eat your flesh.
That nice.
And it came to pass on the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, and that he made a feast for all his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief butler, and the chief baker among the servants and his servants. Then he restored the chief butler to his butlership again, and he placed the cup in the Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief butler,
baker,
as Joseph had interpreted to them. And the chief butler did not remember Joseph, but forgot him.
Wow. So, something good happened to the butler, didn't it? The baker dies. But the butler is now restored, and he's helping the king with his wine, and he's He's back living high on the hog, as they say. And who does he forget?
He forgets Joseph. And remember Joseph, what he said.
That's right. So here's the thought. Sometimes God does something very good for us and we forget him, doesn't he? Mm-hmm. Jesus saved a wretch like me. What a shame that I would forget him. That I would forget how kind he was. Remember, during this time, Joseph is serving the butler and the baker. He's serving all. He is helping everybody. And you know, when good things happen in our life, that's when we think very little of those who have been good to us when we needed them. So, Christians ought to have the motivation of the butler to remember Jesus. Do you remember what Jesus said when he took the Lord's Supper with his disciples? What did he say for every disciples? He says, "As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, I want you to what?
Remember
me." What a humbling thought. That's why we have the Lord's Supper about every other month, so that we remember Jesus. Some people do it every week. I think that's too much. I think that makes it into a ritual. But we have it once every 2 months, so that we remember Christ. All right, now, look at the conclusions and questions here. Joseph is compared to Jesus in the following ways. Using Joseph as our example here, although Joseph was innocent, he still was, here's your fill in there with number one, he was numbered with the transgressors. He was numbered with the criminals. So that's the first thing. He was numbered with the transgressors, which is a biblical phrase, which is from Isaiah 53. He was numbered with the transgressors. So that's kind of cute, because I want to say this with... How many transgressors were listed in Genesis chapter 40? Huh? How many criminals are with Joseph? Now we know there are other prisoners in that prison, aren't there? But we only know of two. So the number with the transgressors. That means secondly, I'm just going to list some of these that are all here. He was with two prominent criminals. So, 1, 2, 3, what are some other, I've got listed here. Intercedes. I think I spelled that wrong. Sorry. D. For the criminals. For one of the criminal. He says, one of you is going up, the other one's going down. He interpreted their dreams. You know, Jesus interceded for two transgressors. He was a blessing to the one. Let's say it this way. It was a blessing or a help to one. And he was a judge to the other criminal, wasn't he? He says, You're gonna be taken before Pharaoh, and Pharaoh is going to kill you. You are going to before Pharaoh, and Pharaoh will restore you. So both this applies to both Jesus and Joseph. Number four, the parallels that are here. He's kept in prison, even though innocent. Why are we going through all these things? It's very important when you're studying the life of somebody in the Bible to see how they relate to Jesus. Now, they all relate to us as well, but Jesus, even though he was innocent, he was standing before Pilate, he was standing before Herod, and he was still kept guilty, just like Joseph was. He was falsely accused. He was cursed by his own brothers. He was cursed by his friends. And yet, he's not allowed to open his mouth to say anything in his defense. He's kept in prison, number five. He's, even though innocent, he is, he does not open his mouth in defense. His own defense. Who does he count on to try to defend him?
God.
Well, God, but also the butler. He says, speak for me. Tell him that I'm in here wrongly. Because he has no voice. And Jesus, he has no voice. He's not speaking. He asks us to speak for him. And to tell people, Jesus is not the one to be upset at. He's forgotten. Look there in verse 23, he says, yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. Now, number five. So I've got six things here I've listed just off the top here. Just, you know, this is actually number of transgressors. You can make that number two. He was with two prominent criminals. Intercedes for the criminal, for one criminal, and is a blessing to and as a judge to the other. So there's some comparisons to Jesus that you can find in that scripture. But number five on your list is, what is the one remedy that will help us and remind us to not forget Jesus and his blessings? What's the one remedy? What's one thing you should be making yourself do so that you don't forget how good God is? It's kind of a simple answer. You'll be surprised, maybe. Follow. Or how about, yes, but how about be thankful? The thing that we should do is accept the command from the Bible is to thank God. Praise God. So just start thanking God, and you'll remember, oh man, he's been good to me. Because what was Butler doing? Butler was back there serving, and he was back there living in the palace, but he wasn't being thankful. He should have said, God, I'm so thankful that Joseph encouraged me and that he was a part of keeping me encouraged. And here I am now. I forgot Joseph. Joseph wanted me to tell you about him being unjustly kept in prison. If he had been thankful to Joseph, he would have remembered Joseph. All right, chapter 41. Chapter 41.
So he didn't thank Joseph the butler he died, is it?
No, the butler didn't die. The baker died. Okay. Now the baker wouldn't have thanked Joseph, no. But the butler, standing up there with Pharaoh, should have been very grateful. And this reminds us of ourselves.
He survived. The butler survived.
The butler survived, and he forgot to thank Joseph. That's right.
Telling the experience about the dreams. Yeah.
That's right. All right, so now let's look in Joseph's new position. 1 Peter 5, 6. Francis, would you read that? 1 Peter 5, 6. I'm kind of debating on whether. I tell you what, why don't we not do 41? We'll wait for Barry and them to get back. This is a long chapter. We won't have time to do it. We'll just go, we'll take a break, and then we'll come back, and we can get a lot done in angelology, because you have a test today in that. All right. So take a break, and also open up your angelology book. It's not that intense. You'll remember, you'll get used to my tests. But start looking at your notes and review. Just look through and familiarize yourself with it. We'll take our first angiology test. We'll stop here.